You're listening to The Riot Show. This is The Riot Show. You're listening to The Riot Show. This is The Riot Show. You're listening to The Riot Show. This is The Riot Show. You're listening to The Riot Show. This is The Riot Show.
Hey, man, the only place I go. Every night, it's the Ryan Show.
Captain Stage, Bliss, Mr. Cheeks, and myself.
Check us out for an hour, enjoy yourself.
Or maybe
listen,
more.
Good music and special guests. Listen, we the best, forget the rest.
It's just me and Ryan, Cheeks the team. Yeah, we about to reign supreme.
Come on.
Yeah, we coming over and we taking the scene. Yeah, we should be on that limelight up on the screen. Yeah, you know my team. Yeah, we really just doing this. Fluid up every time, we really just moving this.
Yeah, man, we mix it up. To all of my fellas and chicks, what up?
Hey,
best believe, we the new wave. Mr. T's Rob Boogie and Hampton Dave.
Let's go.
You're listening to The Riot Show. This is The Riot Show. You're listening to The Riot Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is now time. Premiering on 70 radio stations worldwide, this is The Ryan Show FM with your host, Ryan Vernell, former sushi chef turned talk show host, and a childhood friend, my brother, if you will, the legendary socialite in the building with me, Hampton's Dave, baby, what up?
That's me. What's good, Ryan? It's always good to be down here. It's always good to be in studio doing another show. Grateful to do another show. Grateful to keep having these guests come through, keep blessing us coming in the studio, and it's always good to just be chilling.
Blessed, like our producer Eric Sermon would
That's
say.
It, blessed.
Blessed people. It really does feel that way, Hams Dave. It just keeps getting better down in this cave of yours here.
That's it. Everywhere we are, we turn everywhere to the cave.
We turn it all to the cave, and we got to give a big shout out to not only Mr. Cheeks, who's down in Atlanta, but Kay Bliss, who's down in Atlanta.
Both down in Atlanta.
Half the team down in the ATL this evening, which is all right because we have Mr. E. Babylon, fresh off of the unemployment line,
yep.
joining us yet again in studio to be our DJ for the evening. I mean, I would love to get fired if it means I get to hang out with the Ryan Show every week. Come on.
Right?
Definitely not bad. Also tonight we have Aisha Hall joining us. Aisha Hall joined us many months, what, a year ago now, Hamstead?
Yeah, she came on the show, Bimmy. Shout out to Bimmy. Some people know him from, it was LL's, man. He's been around the game forever. Hip hop heads know Bimmy. People from Southside Jamaica, people from
Terrified
Queens,
of
York.
Him.
Yeah. Supreme Team.
Shouts to Bimmy. Yeah, Bimmy was the one that originally brought us Aisha Hall. And Aisha Hall has one of the craziest stories in hip-hop, and it's not really anything to do with her music. It's the 10 years that she spent.
She's a boss.
She's truly a boss.
I can't wait for this interview. I'm excited about this one.
And to be honest, I don't really think it's too unethical and too immoral, the crimes that she committed all those years ago, which we're actually going to get into because it's part of a great story, the time that she served and what she did while she was in prison. She wrote some great books. Actually blew up while she was locked up. You guys are going to see. She'll explain it a little bit more herself. Also, we have our good friend Big Lito coming in studio today.
Shout out to Big Lito, Double Life Click, LB Fam. It's always good that I can't wait to see this. The ice that he always wears, the jewelry he always wears, it's something spectacular.
It must be heavy. It must be...
he's got you hanging on his neck.
Seriously, it's quite
he's
a burden.
The DLC Double Life Click chain he's got is crazy.
Huge. I wonder how much that thing's worth. What do you think, if you had to guess?
I don't know.
Now, well, look, in all seriousness, it could be expensive. We're going to leave it up for you guys to decide for yourself when you see some pictures. You may have seen pictures of Big Lito. He's flossing everywhere he goes. Big, giant rings. Actually, his friend, LB, formerly of the Double Life Click, joined us. He's another guy. Huge, giant rings and jewelry. Actually, LB and Double Life Click came in recently to promote their song Coke Man, which is actually very confusing to me. Because Big Lito is coming in today to promote his new song, Coke Man.
We'll get to the bottom of that. We got to ask him about that.
Strange. And it actually does, it's the exact same spelling, Coke, K-O-K-E. So we'll see. I don't know. He'll have a better explanation than myself. But he's also bringing Joe Fatal.
Shout out to Fatal.
Real hip-hop fans know Joe Fatal as one-third, I believe, of Main Source, the original song, yep. Live at the Barbecue. It was him, Nas, and Large Professor. So a lot of hip-hop history, a lot of good stuff for us tonight. And just overall, Hamptons, Dave, a good time.
It's a good show. It's always good to be down here, even if we didn't have the guests come through. I love the guests. But even if we didn't have the guests, it's always good to be here. It's always good to be out for the fans. I like doing this for the fans out there, the people that listen every week. Every station that gives us the chance and the platform to put our show out, thank you so much. We do this for you guys.
That's right. We do it for all of the listeners and all of the syndicates out there. And on that note, I think it's time we actually play some music to get things started by Mr. E. Babylon. And this kid really can spin records. It really is a travesty that those scumbags over at Stony Brook University chose to can the guy. But hey, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
That's
Mr.
It.
E. Babylon, let's get it.
Yo, Ryan Show, what up, what up? Got that new gang song for you. This track's called Lights Out, featuring M.O.P., R.I.P. Guru, DJ Premier, what up?
Yeah! 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 Gangsta, M.O.P.
Either ride or be quiet. What we gon' do?
Lights out, I told y'all, this is the one I owe y'all. When you see me, act like you know I know y'all. No, when you see me, act like you know I know y'all. No one but a lock or all y'all. Average pussy numbers can't even handle what I throw y'all.
Lights out.
I told y'all, this is the one I owe y'all. When you see me, act like you know I know y'all. No one but a lock or all y'all. Average money can't even handle what
yo,
I owe y'all.
Yo, ever since a shorty, I was hard-headed and angry and mad complex and wouldn't let nobody change me. I'm still the same me. Getting teased, staying weeded. These are just if starstruck. Scuff the way they're getting treated. I don't need it. If a head ain't right, I pass on it. Why you trick suck that we're digging, wasting cash, and you don't want it. When the fight starts, you always run against me, son. You know the outcome. You're always done. Rhymes jog your mental like your pop duke smack, smack. You need a joint sag, cause you're a hell of an athlete. After you notice what happened, it'll be too late. Can't blame no one but yourself for mistakes you make. And some of you are like circus monkeys, living life like worthless junkies. Plotting against your fellow man, helping out the devil's plan. Damn, why can't I trust my own people? Enemies must perish in the valley of their own.
Lights out, I told y'all, this is the one I owe y'all. When you see me, act like you know I know y'all. Know you're one, but a lock or all y'all. Average money to go, but can't even handle what I throw y'all.
Lights out,
I told y'all, this is the one I owe y'all. When you see me, act like you know I know y'all. No one, but a lock or all y'all. Average money to go, but can't even handle what I throw y'all.
With a wise man said, shit, give me that bag, otherwise y'all dead.
Clap on, bang, bang.
I can ride right now, leave you paralyzed from your eyebrows down. I got thoughts in my brain, go fuck your life on my right. Ain't nothing left on my left, ain't nothing right.
I pull up.
The kids go for my trust. For the bread, I leave your head smoking like a muffler. Balls, shit, what up? I spit sauce, you spit nada. Shit, shut up, it's in my bone marrow. Mark for death. I don't even trust my own shadow. When they can't touch who you become, they try to dig up who you used to be. Tell them niggas get used to me. You can't go back and change the beginning, but I'ma start where I'm at and change the ending.
Lights out,
the ending.
Lights out, I told y'all, this is the one I owe y'all. When you see me, act like you know I know y'all. No one, but a lock or all y'all. Average money to go, can't even handle what I throw y'all.
Lights out,
I told y'all, this is the one I owe y'all. When you see me, act like you know I know y'all. No one, but a lock or all y'all. No one, but a lock or all y'all. A lock or all y'all. Average money to go, can't even handle what I throw y'all.
I do it like I do it, cause it ain't about the music.
get me cruising. I will lose it. I get on my bully, but I'll fish for again. Moving it. Who your crew is? The crew is gangsta forever. What the new is? Looking for to turn diamonds to ruins. Ball with your RuPaul influence. So they ask you who you is. Forgetting I'm praised where a few is. Overlooking OG engraved on the Buick. Before they let me out the cage for the music, I help you niggas see exactly who John Woo is. Now, again, who you is? You overpaid, it made glitch, man. You heading for the roof with this shit fade. With no substance, it's for body abundance. The catalog sound the same, you got one hit.
Lights out, lights out.
That was Lights Out by Gangstar featuring M.O.P. This next track called Paraphrase featuring Verbs off High Focus Records by Compound, CMP and D, baby.
Feel like I ought to take some time out to work out what's real. I've spent years in the field, trying to build on my skill. Was never in it for the clout, I simply spit how I feel. Had my doubts, building big and sipping stars for the thrill. Been about but never been allowed. Kept a couple sinners round, it's different now. I guess these writings do heal. Scars are hidden down, and figured out but never revealed. And feel it's ill where I'm living. From the bits when them spinners loud, the little hitters gripping crowds grinning. It's the same old same, chase liquor and women. Women feelings for the sake of maintaining the image. Ways of the change of figures we ain't seen. Spent my late teens chasing these great scenes. Waving with J's at 18, I couldn't face me, a slave to my choices. I still spray for the voiceless, breaking down the hate that left me poisoned over new sounds and noises. All to recreate the dream that kept me hoisted back when I loitered to use the chasing. And it seems I keep heading back to where we started. Seems I keep heading back to where we started. As young G, hungry way before I was an artist, contemplating on all that I can't part with. And funny thing is me, I thought that I was past this. I'll just keep harnessing flows in the face of growing hardship.
I rock my sunnies when it's way past my bedtime. Eating off the breadline. Thousands of your heavy bars are worth like 10 of mine. I ain't a gas bag for no reason. Ready to blow season, ready to blow season, ready to blow season. King long and slow as you're committing treason. MCs crack me up like Mr. Bean. Actors actually cleaner than Mr. Sheen. I pack a cataclysmic new set of next level rap. Me and Bits will snap the crowd's neck, but you're getting foot taps. After that, I'm asking where the shub's at. I'm telling you, said it, you couldn't be in my crew if you could rap. I'm getting a tenner and copping the benders and smelling the kush pack. Elegant elephant in a room, but a good lad.
Shit, another futuristic paraphrase. Head up in the hemisphere, boots inside the reef. Inspired and depraved, getting wired with my mates. Flying into space from the siren, the gate. Shit. Another futuristic paraphrase. Head up in the hemisphere, boots inside the rave. Inspired and depraved, getting wired with my mates. Flying into space, the messiah in the cage. People move like robots, man, as laws of Asimov. Automatons of atom bomb, be decimating Camelot. What? Dropping daisy cutters, while the hare and the tortoise are blindly chasing self-destruction. I'm off cut, conceptualize the finish line. Life is just a cul-de-sac littered with broken glass, pipe dreams and burnt ash. Bonfires of hard-earned cash brought on forgotten nights. Embers of greed start resembling forest fires. So stop the furnaces, soak our furnishes. Till the fuse blows, short-circuiting under the planet with my worthless earth. Plain to see that we seek the turbulence perfect. Trying not to fit like epileptics. Pissing on pilings just to check the electrics. Working affirmative line from the live wire. Jitterbug, this crash course called life seems more like a hit and run.
I was no sober how I used to feel. I wrote my own sick note just to prove I'm ill. The crew move super duper musical, no fluke is skill. Smooth the super rhythm on wooden floors and loop and silk. Took the pill, soon spewed puke in the grill. Food for thought, score of milk, won't use the thrill. Nah, dude, I'm chill. Buddha and hash noodle bill. So get the point, the packet usage like a shooting Shaquille. So, fall back with dual tanks like a Lazanach. Cram a sword on the facts in the grammar like a snackle cap. Stamped on tracks like a suicidal passenger. In the city where I'm new to my parameters. Used to what I be doing, you tried to find it. My character true, you thought you were sick. Would be spewed with the bio back at ya. How about that, fascist frazzled in the sound clash. Shower sat on power, need a power nap if I can.
Shit, another futuristic paraphrase. Head up in the hemisphere, boots inside the rave. Inspired and depraved, getting wired with my mates. Flying into space, the messiah in the cage. Shit,
Another futuristic paraphrase. Head up in the hemisphere, boots inside the reef. Inspired and deprived, getting wired with my meat. Flying into speech, the messiah in the key. Boom. Yo. I'm the verbal spit, Smith Wesson. I unload with six spit, the quick wit, the split a split second. Bomb with a lit wit expression. You hear a tick tick, then you test it. My saliva and spit, the split thread.
Rick, it's tragic like the havoc of a nuclear bomb.
I'm the verbal spit, Smith Wesson. I unload with six spit, the quick wit, the split a split second. Bomb with a lit wit expression. You hear a tick tick, then you test it. My saliva and spit, the split thread and the fiber and bits. So trust me, I'm as live as it gets. Everybody claimed to the best and they had the throne. Wrong, big is gone. If you ask me, they dead wrong. My flow is hotter than the flash from the click. When the hammer slaps the bullet on the ass, flip, flip. You wind up in a room full of my dogs. I have you feeling like a fire hydrant in a room full of dogs. So come, come now. Get on, tip on, this shit on. Tough talk turns, but can't we all just get along? Get along. You get blazed when the mic's off, shot when it's on. You probably ducked when they laid the gunshot in your song. My gun stutters when it speaks to you. A shit to repeat to you. Nothing to clip to give a speech to you. Me and Premier, we kinda the same in way. And we both with our hands in dangerous ways. Rap now is a circus of clowns. A whole lot of lip from clicks. I probably wrap circles around. I'm the next best to reach a peak. Formerly known as the best kept secret. I guess that I just leaked it.
Rickets tragic like the havoc of a nuclear bomb. Rickets tragic like the havoc of a nuclear bomb.
And we have returned, folks. You are listening live. This is the Ryan Show FM with your host, Ryan Vernell, and the Socialite.
Hampton's Dave in the building. The Ryan Show, it's always good to be back.
It is good to be here, Hampton's
It's always good
Dave.
To be on air all over Boston. I like bringing New York to Boston.
I like bringing New York to Louisville.
Yeah.
Making them real uncomfortable down there. Shouts to our fans down in Louisville. Shouts to Mr. Cheeks, who's a little bit further down south in Atlanta this evening. But we're moving forward, especially when we have an intriguing guest,
yes,
like the one we have in studio. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, give it up for the lovely Aisha Hall.
Yeah.
Get that audience clapping. Yeah. They'll hear that. What's up? What's up? I want to know what's up, Aisha. You know, you're seeing it. You're down here in Hampton's Dave studio. And this is probably the most sober experience I've had down
here. Yeah,
in this
right.
Place,
I was going to say, yeah. As you can see, the bottles and.
Bottles everywhere, ashes all over the floor. But no smell of weed is in the air, and there's good reason for that tonight, which we're actually going to get into. It's what?
My guy didn't answer when I hit him up earlier.
Yeah, because guy didn't answer. Because Cheeks isn't down here.
Yeah.
Aisha, you have not only one of the more interesting stories, but you have some awesome music, which is why you're down here. Beyond the whole road that led you to this basement right now, you have some great music. And like we were talking about, it's the type of music that we play on this show. We enjoy lyrics. We enjoy quality music. Before we get into any of your story, let's get into your music because that's what you're here for. So how long have you been creating music?
Well, actually, I've been creating music like my whole life. You know, my father used to perform with Public Enemy and made records with Terminator X, you know, and Chuck D. So I was like maybe 4 or 5 years old when my oldest memory of that. So when he was doing that and they were always in the studio and always doing shows, I was always there. He would take me with him. And it got to the point where he would give me the mic, you know, and at first people would be like, who's this little girl about to get on the stage, you know? And then I would just come up there and like do a line or do the hook with him. And so I've been performing like my whole life.
So you were 4 or 5 up there doing hooks for your father when he was working with guys like Public Enemy. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely like weaved into like my DNA, you know what I'm saying? From birth.
So beyond being there with your father and doing it at a young age, did you ever create music of your own at that point? When did you actually start writing your own material?
I started writing probably when I was about 9. The first performance that I ever did was at like a school talent show. I was about 9 years old.
What were those bars like?
Here I am, the Easter girl.
So yeah, what was your old rap name back then?
I actually didn't have one. Okay. And I actually still don't have one. You know, one of the things that I wanted to stay, you know, committed to was genuineness. Like, when I saw how the game was, like, kind of just convoluted and a lot of people were just faking the funk, I wanted to just be one of those people that stayed original. You know what I'm saying? So, no gimmicks, just Aisha Hall.
And it's always been that way. Even always, back in the day was...
Well, I mean, I had nicknames, Old Girl, you know, but that was just kind of like because I had an old soul, so
old
sometimes...
Old Girl's a good name,
yeah, like that, that was like when I was a teenager, yeah. You know, they would call me that. But overall, especially once I started going through certain things that I knew would be an intriguing and important part of my story, I wanted to be able to be verifiable. So I didn't want people to say, is that the same person? Or so when they look up one thing that I'm doing, they knew it was all the same person.
And it makes sense now, especially with everything else you're doing. We haven't mentioned this yet. We sort of alluded to it, but you're also an author.
Right, right.
An activist. All these mm-hmm. other things that are tied mm-hmm. to your actual name.
Exactly. So it was important that I kept everything so that I could brand myself as a whole and not have to compartmentalize, like, okay. you know, this Aisha the rapper, Aisha the author, Aisha the speaker, Aisha this. It was just better to just do Aisha Hall, period, you know, as one conglomerate. And that worked out
better. You had the foresight even back then. Yep. See that? Mm-hmm. And in this industry, especially now, it's hard to make money in the entertainment business. So us entertainers find all different types of revenue streams, essentially,
right.
to make money. We kind of right. naturally have to be hustlers or entrepreneurs, especially in this day and age.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's kind of why when I was doing the music before, it was kind of more like a hobby. It was something I was naturally good at, but I couldn't make a living from it. I was more of the hustler. So my energy went into, you know, making money, my business, because I've been an entrepreneur from the time I was a teenager. So... You know, I focused all my energy on that and I did the music because I loved it. I didn't really care about the money, you know, so and it's kind of still that way because the music right now is more so, you know, it's to be known. It's so that people know my name, my brand. So the other things that I do are popular yeah. because the music sells. So yeah. with the music, it gives me my face, my brand a face. And then everything else, you know, is easier to sell because of the music.
All those parallels are all helped mm-hmm. by the music, including being an author. So before we get into that, like we just discussed, you've got to do what you got to do to get by.
That's
we
right.
We all choose our own methods, some legal, some illegal, some worse than others. But you did some of the more badass crimes that I've read about. And I say badass because if you really break it down, morally speaking, in my opinion, they're really not that bad. Because to the listeners that don't know, Aisha, you had to serve some time for what it exactly was the charge. Technically, it was wire fraud.
It was conspiracy to commit wire fraud.
Conspiracy to commit wire fraud. But you might be able to describe exactly what's going on better than me. But from the research that I've done, to be able to trade commodities, which is what you were in trouble for doing, was setting up some sort of a...
trading platform.
A trading platform.
Right.
But it doesn't really seem like a very fair platform to begin with when in right. order to even trade anything at all, any type of commodity, you need, what, $150 million?
Yeah, for those particular trades, that's what you needed. But let me answer all your questions. So, you know, originally, like, I got introduced into... wanting to make a lot of money by my father. He was, you know, he was an immigrant. He came from Jamaica very okay. young. And, you know, coming up in the 80s and the crack era, you know, he was selling drugs and different things of that nature. So I always saw my dad with a lot of money, you know. So I just bypassed the whole small money thing. I always wanted to make big money because that's what I saw. So... with my father doing music and making money, this is what I'm exposed to. So I'm making music and making money. Now, the thing with the trading platforms, it was so crazy because I didn't even know what it was. I was actually working in the mortgage industry at the time, and this guy asked me for a cash out refi for like $3-4 million, and I told him, unless you go with a hard money lender, I can't get that kind of money for you. What do you need so much for? Because he was real adamant about it. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm doing private placement trading platforms. I'm like, huh? Like, explain that to me. So when he explained it to me, I was like, let me do a little research. So I saw where the gap was. I said, the reason why I never heard of this is because it's for an elite group. Basically, if somebody has I use a company that a lot of people may or may not have heard of called Gazprom. They're in Russia. They're like the world's largest natural gas supplier. They supply a lot of oil, things of that nature. But what they do is they sell to a certain group of people.
Okay.
So if you hit the lotto tomorrow and you get $10 million, let's say, you still may not qualify to go and purchase even $100,000.
And why exactly is that? Why do you need that? Is it for insurance purposes?
No, I mean, it's really just keeping wealth, you know, just stagnated and stuck with a certain group.
Is there like an excuse like that they gave you even in court when they were trying to prosecute you? Like, what is the reasoning why it's so hard to get into this? Why they set the limit at such a high number? I mean, the obvious is that they're trying to keep certain people from
getting
money.
Well, they don't want you to spend that kind of money. They just want you to have it.
Okay.
So if you're coming to spend $100,000 and you have $1 million in the bank, but if you're coming to spend $100,000 and you have $100 million in the bank, you can do it, but the other group can't do it. So you have to have a certain net worth in order to even qualify at all. If you don't have that net worth, you can't qualify. So that's where I came in. I was able to actually make people look like they were worth more than what they really were in order to get them to qualify.
How does somebody do this? Is it like you go into the computer and manipulate the system, or you have to find somebody that has the money and
I was doing that.
Them?
I was doing that in the beginning. So I was finding like hedge fund managers.
Take notes, everybody, if you're
different big investors that actually had it, and they would take my clients and, you know, and they would merge with them. And then my clients, if I took you to my bank and I had $1 million and I said, I want to add Ryan to my account, and, you know, the paperwork is going to show you have whatever balance I have. That's totally legal. Where I messed up is that process took too long. So some of my clients were like, I need this right now. So I changed documentation so that they looked like they were already on these accounts, or that they had these funds when they didn't yet.
Because they rushed you. They couldn't just be
and
patient.
I mean, it wasn't even that they couldn't be patient. Like, those trade doors close real fast. So they'll let a certain number of people in and then it's done. So they were like, I'm trying to make it in this because I can turn around and make $1 million in 2 weeks if I'm able to get in there.
Was there anyone else doing what you were doing? Did you see other people pulling off schemes like this?
No, I mean, I saw people doing, you know, proof of funds for different types of transactions, more so like the mortgage world, other loans. But the difference with me is when you did mortgages and you did loans, you were risking the bank's money. Yeah. What I was doing wasn't risking any money. It was just paperwork. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was taking any losses. So the way that I did it was clean, actually.
Yeah.
All what it allowed people to do was get in the door to spend their own money when they wouldn't have been able to do that before. So I was naive, like, you know, what are they going to do to me? I'm like, I didn't steal anything. Yeah. I didn't swindle anybody. Nobody took any losses, no banks. You know, they tried to bring in the SEC. They tried to bring in the FTC.
I was going to say, like, who catches you on that?
They couldn't because I wasn't actually trading those funds. I was just making them qualify to trade their own money. So it wasn't manipulating anybody's, I didn't take anybody's money out of their bank accounts, nothing. It was just information on documentation that allowed them to go do their own thing.
And what was it that actually
What they hated, I was this young 24-year-old black chick making $1 million a month. That is what really bothered them.
You're probably right. You're honestly right.
Yeah, because there were Wall Street chicks there that didn't get that kind of time. So what was the difference? When I didn't even cause any losses.
Yeah.
So it was just like I got to see up front the disparities in the system
right away.
You know what I'm saying? Especially being a female in that male dominated industry, I just think they just felt like I was out of my place.
So when you were doing all of this, do you feel like you were doing the right thing at the time by helping out people that normally wouldn't be able to have access to these type of?
Yeah, I think that was the whole premise and the whole problem with my case is that so many people that they felt weren't worthy of that world were now being introduced to it. And it's like, it's messing up the game, you know, because, you know, there's this good old boys club where they keep everything right there. You know, it's like a pyramid. The bottom is real big, but the top is very, very small to the point where you get to the top and there's only enough room really for like one or two people in that small, tiny space. So, you know, who am I to take that large base and bring them there or tell them what this is? I'm not saying that, you know, it was right. I did forge documents and change information, but I didn't honestly think it was that deep. I mean,
not that anyone's really getting hurt. You weren't losing anybody's money.
Right. But so, I was making a lot of money very fast, and I just think they just didn't like it.
And when you were doing it, like, yeah, I mean, it must have been quite exhilarating. You said you made $10 million.
Yeah, it was like shocking. Age. Like, I didn't go in expecting to make that. I didn't know if I was even going to get a client in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? So when I started getting all these, how I started getting clients, really, the honest truth is that I had a client one time pay me $1 million. I'll never forget it. They put the money in escrow, and the deal went through. And they said, my trade, something's wrong with my trade. It's not happening. Now I got to sue you to get my $1 million back. And I'm like, you ain't got to sue me. Doop, 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 doop. It's been returned. Apparently in that industry, that doesn't happen. Once you pay that kind of money, whoever you paid it to, they keep it by any means necessary. So when I did that, it was like my name spread like wildfire, because now you have this trustworthiness, like, oh, if my deal doesn't go through or something goes wrong, she'll refund us. So that, I think, is what really, you know, got me to the next level, because all of a sudden after that, everybody was coming.
They need more people like you in that industry.
I'm gonna tell you crazy. This too, I'm not gonna say who it was, because I may work with them in the future one day but a big movie house, like a Paramount type thing, not them, but like a big movie house, was secretly bankrupt and wanted to get a big time actress to do this movie, and they needed to show $100 million, and they had heard from a trader that I had given them this documentation, and the big movie house called me and wanted me to give them the paperwork.
Are you allowed to admit whether or not you did it? You didn't say
that.
I can
admit it. I didn't do it because I felt like they just wasn't gangster enough. Like, if something went wrong, they was going to blow up the spot. I didn't do it.
So you need that intuition to know who's actually worth dealing with.
But I felt like, you know, the fact that they even asked lets me know that all of these companies that people admire, all of these big $1 billion companies, they all do side shit. You know what I mean? Excuse me. They all do side stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a big eye opener for me. Like, dang, I can't believe they're calling me, asking me. Like,
just shows.
Yeah.
Everybody's on some ish.
So you make that first deal, your first big deal, you get that first paycheck. Where do you go? What do? You see that big...
The first thing I did, I went and I got when the 650i first came out, I went and copped it.
There we go.
You know, typical. Get some money, go get a nice whip. You know what I'm saying?
No, you got it, though.
Yeah, especially, but then I also did good stuff with it. So I went and bought 75 houses. I went and bought tractor trailers. I went and bought, warehouses.
And all this was under your name, too. You put everything under your name.
Some of the stuff, mostly corporations. Like, that's, I don't do too much stuff in my name, but corporations.
We got a lot of criminals taking notes tonight. That's one thing I can definitely
And they never
guarantee.
Came for any of those properties. They wanted to, but I layered them in corporations. So,
smart.
And not
I was
with criminal intent. That just was like, that's just the way to, you know, to do business. And it worked in my favor, because those properties was never seized. Unfortunately, I did lose a lot of them because I didn't know I was going to go to prison for so long, and I wasn't there to pay taxes and things like that. But, you know, I had the right mindset. Like, I wasn't just blowing money. I was like trying to invest it, you know?
And that's rare for somebody to get caught whatever they're doing and then still have something left over. It's a nice feeling. Definitely a nice feeling. You'd have been out, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, this definitely translates to a hell of a story and is some great content and is some great music, especially if you're going to keep it real, which is what you hope that hip hop artists do. However, we are living in a day and age where it's cool to snitch. And it's apparently
$10 million.
See, you went and you served your time, stand up, never snitched. Do you feel like that helped you or hurt you, especially in a day and age where you get caught and you snitch on people and apparently you don't even really lose clout or respect?
I mean, I don't really base my actions off of what other people are doing or, you know, how society feels about it. I just think that it's wrong. If you're getting money with somebody or anything that you're doing with somebody, whether legal, illegal, when things go wrong, you know, if you were in agreement from the get-go, if you get caught up, it's not right to get somebody else caught up. Just like, that's just morally wrong to me. You know what I'm saying? Now, in their defense, which is, even to use that word, this is for lack of a better word, I also don't think it's fair that, you know, especially I met a lot of people there for drugs, that it was like tell or life for a nonviolent offense. You know, most people are not expecting to have to give up their lives because they was selling some drugs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that the choice that they're presented is also not fair as well, you know, because most people don't want to die in prison. But at the same time, with it happening to so many people, you know the consequences. So it's like, I'm just going to be honest. If I were to do something right now that was illegal, like, I know how to bid. I'm not saying I would ever want to go back to prison, but I'm not going to do something unless I'm prepared to be able to do the time.
Yeah.
If I got caught up doing something, I'm not going to cry about it because I know what the consequences are. Right. You know what I'm saying? The problem is these people do things and then they don't want to deal with the consequences. Yeah. This is America. They lock people up for the stupidest stuff ever. So if you go to prison, you know, for something that you felt, you know, you gotta, now the system is wrong, but what I'm talking about is about snitching.
Yeah.
If you gotta go in and deal with that, deal with it for yourself. Don't deal with it where you feel like you gotta take everybody else down with you.
And
you
not only, it's really America where they put you in that position. There are plenty of countries where you are not asked to snitch. You don't even get a reduced sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So America, it's just a strange code that we've kind of just.
No, it's a business. So yeah, that's what people forget. Like, it's a business. Like, if you look at like the budget, you know, it's the military, and then I think then after Medicare is prison. Like, those are the three biggest budgets. Like, yeah, why are you investing so much in locking your people up? Nobody else does that,
and we're aware of it too. Pretty crazy stuff.
Right. And I mean, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible experience. You know, like, yeah, I was gone and, you know, most of my 20s, my early 30s, you know, I may have had children, you know, now it's like I'm focused on rebuilding my life. Certain things that I would have focused on had I not gone through that, that would have been able to be, you know, my primary focus, like, yeah, a family. I can't think about that right now. I got to think about rebuilding my life, yeah, because I was gone for so long. So it's definitely not something that, you know, I would ever want to experience again. And it's not something that's fun or something you're proud of, but you make the best out of your circumstances. You know, I just didn't let it break me. But like, I always tell like younger people and stuff like that, like, you don't want to go to prison. So think about what you're doing. I don't tell people what to do. I don't tell people how to survive. I don't judge people what they do. But I will say, like, just be prepared for the consequences.
Ready, yeah.
That's it.
My philosophy, you know, these days is I feel like the government knows what we're all doing. I feel like it's that easy for them to tap into our stuff and look into what we're doing. And everybody's flipping and snitching on each other. So it's like, it's almost like you got to expect to get caught if you're doing something. So just be sure that you're not doing anything too crazy and you're not worth, you know, ready to serve time.
But the problem is that the sentences are so crazy for the not so crazy things.
For nonviolent crime.
You know what I'm saying? That's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, especially like, you know, you hear about like a lot of, like, my brother was killed by the police. You know, and my father was arrested, deported, and then he ended up getting murdered, you know, which I tied directly to him being arrested and then deported. And it was just for petty things. So I'm just looking at the system as just, it's and it's extra harder on African-Americans too. Yeah. You know, when you're in prison, you know, you see the disparity. Like where I was at, okay, it was about 50% white, 50% black. Well, give or take, you know, you did have a lot of Hispanics there, but the difference is in population. So with there being like only, what is it, somewhere between 18 and 22% black, can't afford for, you know, that many people to be locked up. Where if you're white, it's like 60 or 70%. You know, if the same number of people are in prison as blacks, it's not going to affect you as bad because you have a larger number. So that's where it really, really hurts the most, because now you got the women being locked up and you got all these men locked up, all these black men locked up. So now you have all these black women locked up too. And then you just have all these kids that are affected the worst because they don't have either parent. You know what I'm saying? So I got to really emotionally get involved in the whole disparity in the system, you know, and now they're just straight attacking poverty. You know what I mean? So, like, when I was in West Virginia, there were a lot of, like, impoverished people from, like, you know, the Midwest, from the South, that are being treated the same way that you would initially see blacks being discriminated against. They're doing it to you just because you're poor. So, it's a cash cow for the government if you don't have nothing. And it's just kind of crazy. And, you know, people really need to talk about it more. You know, and it's working because Washington is talking about it.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people got out, you know, with the crack laws changing and all that stuff. So, you know, it's I was a big advocate in there. I wrote books the whole time I was there,
which is what we're going to get into next. Actually, at this moment, we're going to play a couple of your songs and then we're going to get into a few of your books. And once again, why you're here, which is your music. But without further ado, I think we should play a few of your tracks. What should we play tonight? What are you in the mood for, Aisha?
You could play Tonight. featuring my boy Just Call Me Dio. That's a song that I really, really like. It's a fun song. It has an old Mary J. feel to it, so people can kind of just vibe with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's dope.
I Perfect. Think like so it. Sit back, vibe with us tonight by Aisha Hall. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about her books, a little bit about her music. And we've got a couple good buddies of Dave and I in studio with us, the legend Joe Fatal and our dear friend Big Lito in the building. Folks, this is The Ryan Show FM, and we will return very soon. Up, bada bing.
Me screaming in here, boost your ego playing this game. You be missing on a weekend, baby, it's a shame. Cause I know how you be cheating. I be out when I'm back, screaming, I'm fussing, kicking you out, then we be touching. Don't wanna fight, but I know you be f***ing. Didn't expect me to never say nothing. I waited, but you hesitated. The way that you got me so open, I'm telling you, baby, I hate it. Leaving you, wanted to, but never do,
I never do.
Cause love is cruel.
I'm such a fool.
Now what to do? Using my body whenever you need it, like I'll be a tool.
Wish you would do what you used to like before. Beneficial tissue, nigga, don't forget who opened the door. Helped you reach the top when you were still illegal. You wanted to wipe me, I was just amigo. Clever than ever,
no respect,
but I make you better,
no regrets.
Trust you be keeping me wet, trust me, it's not from the weather.
Dance on it,
hold me when I be upset, and we get money together.
Dance on it,
we could just jump on a jet, and we could fly to wherever.
Leaving you,
wanted to,
never do,
cause love is cruel,
I'm such a fool,
now what to do, using my body whenever you need it, like I be a tool.
Rock steady, then already. I'm a real writer, never get defeated, gotta be a real fighter. Wanna see you lose, so they pull a chain tighter. See it, them one divider. Small to a giant, I was like that, they minor. Roll real dark, so me take out me lighter. Cause in the pen, I had a pen, they call me writer. Copy in my style, so me call them the biter. Tell you to your face, so you know me never like ya. Race to the top, referee run the timer. You can try to hide, but believe I go and find ya. Too many diamonds on my neck, I might blind ya. Ask me if I think that I'm the greatest, I say kinda. Jump up, call me so hyper. Haters, they be waiting in the cut like a sniper. I be shitting on them so hard, I need a diaper. The rock steady, that's the new body rider. And I'm ready for the flow, then I'm ready. Drop their body down low, then I'm ready. Wind your waist to the floor, rock steady. Rock steady, yeah. Drop your body down low, then I'm ready. Wind your waist to the floor, rock steady. Drop your body down low, then I'm ready. Rock steady, rock steady, rock steady. Give me police the finger. Now they wanna trap me, so me turn off me ringer. Ride it real slow, so they put on a linger. They never know, say that me's a reggae singer. Big up to my daddy, wish that he could come in ya. Remember when they used to smoke up the Sensenina. Pull up in a drop top, I ain't beamer. Want the other side, where the grass ain't greener. Up on the bike, so their body get leaner. Tryna get these billions, always been a big dreamer. Watch for the haters, so me tell them they meaner. Beat up on the track like it's like Cantina. You know Isha Ho always been a good leader. And I ready for the floor, then I ready. Drop their body down low, then I ready. Wind your waist to the floor, rock steady. Rock steady, rock steady, rock steady, yeah. Drop your body down low, then I ready. Wind your waist to the floor, rock steady. Drop your body down low, then I ready. Rock steady, rock steady, rock steady, yeah. Then I ready for the floor, then I ready. Drop your body down low, then I ready. Wind your waist to the floor, rock steady. Rock steady, rock steady, rock steady, yeah. Drop your body down low, then I ready. Wind your waist to the floor, rock steady. Drop your body down low, then I ready. Rock steady, rock steady, rock steady, yeah.
Tonight and Rock Steady by Aisha Hall. Fire. If I do say so myself, well, for tonight.
No, you know, she came on. She was one of the people that came on, you know, the show and when we used to do the Queen show.
The OG run.
Yep.
Back at
that
Tavern
was so
Lounge.
Dope. So, you know, I came. I thought that's what it was. So I was ready to, like, jump on stage.
I see you dressed up to perform right now. Yeah, ready to roll.
I was ready.
But no. Actually, as we like to say.
Like, what basement are they taking? What is going on?
Yeah, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
We parted our way on the FM radio. We've been in the basement here since, really. It's nice. You never know who's going to pop down here. We got the ill setup. And yeah, we can actually get into things. So I remember the last time you came to the show at Tavern Lounge, you killed it. You performed. Yep. Mm-hmm. But we did an interview, and it's just hard to do interviews in that setting. You know, when there's like a million people there, wasted, screaming. We're wasted, screaming.
I was on.
Yeah. we got a little carried away back then. But it's not only music that you're here for. You also are an author.
Mm-hmm.
Were you writing before your stint, or did that all come about when you were locked up?
That really all came up. I mean, I was a, you know, technical writer, like school stuff. You know, I could always write well because I was a good student. But writing in like the fiction form and telling stories, like nonfiction stories about like just, you know, different situations in life and things like that. I had never done that before. That was brand new to me. And believe it or not, it was Wahida Clark who had inspired me. She is like a New York Times bestselling author, and everybody was reading Thugs and The Women Who Love Them, these real popular urban books. They were like all throughout the prison. And I was like, let me see what this buzz is about. And when I looked at about the author, she had done 10 years and wrote these books while incarcerated. So I was like inspired right away.
I think I know the book you're talking about, or the genre. I remember working at Starbucks back in the late 2000s. And all the girls there were reading these books, and they were just super graphic about people dating and selling drugs and going out and having sex. And they were just super, super graphic. Super graphic. I remember reading and being like, wow, this is awesome.
That
like,
might have been were they like showing a little X-rated. These books were more just like, you know, a lot of the people that I was locked up with, the books like kind of mirrored their life. You know what I'm saying? Like just growing up in like the ghetto and like, you know, some of the things they were doing to survive, and just kind of just a raw storytelling. And I liked it. A lot of people judge it. They're like, oh, I don't like urban books, whatever. But I mean, people love mob stories. I mean, every culture has their little dark side, the little things they do that, you know, are kind of like taboo that people don't want to necessarily talk about publicly. But it's still, you know, it piques your curiosity.
Highly entertaining.
You know what I'm saying? Just like, what's that book? The Gray Book? That they made a movie out of?
50 Shades of Grey.
You know what I mean? Like, same thing. Your book was like a super best-selling book. And it's the same thing. Like, these urban books are like super popular.
The elder middle-class women that get no love. Don't have an OnlyFans account. They got that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You've written quite a few books. 13 books, you said, right?
I've written 13 books. Some of them were.
I've read 13 books.
Right?
God bless you for writing 13 books.
Well, crazy. Like, I was ghostwriting, too, for people. So a lot of women, like, would come in and, you know, they would have these crazy stories. And they're like, you know, I'm not a writer, but I have a crazy story. You know, can you write for me? I'll pay you to write my story. So I've done that a few times. And then I've co-written.
Is that frowned upon in the writing, in like, the literature world, like it is in hip-hop?
I don't think so, because like hip hop is so much about being real.
But
so
like, you get the credit over, if you like, write you know, that, you get the credit as writing.
Not if
that.
I ghostwrite. If I co-write, then it's like me, you know, like the person with me. You know what I mean? Because they do write their story, like, you know, as much as they can, yeah. And then I just turn it into
like
a novel.
As told by, you'll see, like as told by or whatever, somebody has a story.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. And then sometimes, you know, if you pay me enough, I don't have to have nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? But then if they allow it, I like that because it helps add to my collection. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
it's another credit.
Yeah, it's another credit.
Kima and Lamar, I know that I'm going to have to use different verbiage here, but I said you had a very rabid fan base with this book. Because there's people leaving crazy comments. They really want the next installment. So what was that that inspired this book, Kima and Lamar?
Kima and Lamar was just crazy, you know. And I interjected myself in some ways into the character, but put her in a different situation than me. But just some of the character, like the go-getterness, the just not quitting, you know, and then just blowing up into this big boss chick, like, you know. So when I started watching the Teresa Mendoza story, it's very similar to my book, you know, Kima and Lamar, A Ghetto Love Story. And it's three parts. So it's three 300-page books. You know what I'm saying? And it gets deep.
How long did it take you to write your first book?
About 3 weeks.
Wow. I guess you have time. Now, here's another question I actually was thinking about. Is it easier for you to write when you were, you know, locked up because you had all that time?
Oh, heck yeah.
So, I mean, it must be hard now. Are you planning on writing any more books now that you have all this freedom to do all these other things?
You know what? I would love to. I just don't really have the time. I do have a new book I'm working on, and it's about credit because I do credit repair, you know, and they can check me out at therealcreditpro.com. I do credit repair, and I started off doing it for people who would just come home. Me and my bestie, who I also met in prison, Shawana King, we had started doing that to help people rebuild. Because when you come home from prison, it's hard to get a lump sum of money if all you knew was a certain thing. So at least credit, if you have any ideas, you could get a lump sum and go start whatever. So that's how we started, and then it just grew from there. So, you know, I was doing that, and I was helping people, you know, just try to rebuild that way. And I'm doing a book about that, giving away some of the ways you can help yourself.
So that's like a self-help book.
Kind of like a self-help book, yeah.
All right.
But I just don't have the time. Like, when I went away, there was no smartphones. So, like, my phone...
That must have been a trip, getting out. And
yeah, there was no Instagram. There was no Twitter. There was no... I think Facebook was, like, just starting out. The last thing I had was MySpace. So it's a totally different culture.
And God knows what happened to Tom. Tom is, like, he's long gone.
He made friends, though.
He did. Tom had a lot of friends.
He's in everybody's top eight or whatever that was for the...
That's right.
I don't know what happened with him, but great, it was question. A culture shock.
But yeah, that must be something else, getting out and then seeing that the world has moved to the phone. It's no longer about being present and secular. It's like the opposite of religion, too. Back when you were living in the Bible, now you're just living in that iPhone. Crazy. But that being said, do you feel like it's easier now to pursue a career in music, even though there's way more competition?
Well, I think that it's easier to do it, you know, and to feel like you're doing it, because every platform that every major artist is on, you have access to it, you know, so you can put yourself out there. Will you be successful? You know, I mean, the formula to that is still just like Coca-Cola. Like, nobody knows, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, yeah, exactly. But what's happening now that I see is like, especially like labels and things like that, like, they want you to come as already packaged. They're not building the artist, you know, like, even like when I go perform, I'm just winging it naturally. You know what I'm saying? You know, whereas if with labels before, they would find a talent, you know, they would stage prep, you know, and all these different things that, you know, they see the talent. Now it's not about talent. It's more about popularity. You know what I'm saying? And it's not about lyrics. It's just about, you know, who can get on the most drugs and get everybody to be on in a wave with them. Like, it's just some...
Who got the most fans?
Yeah, who got the most fans. And it's just like, it's kind of crazy because, you know, I do feel that music-wise, you know, that is my talent. But, if I'm not, especially as a female artist, if I'm not getting naked, like, that's one thing, like, I just don't even answer. Like, everybody tells me, oh, you have to show more skin. I'm like, some of the greatest females, Lauryn Hill didn't show skin. Missy Elliott didn't show skin.
Thank God.
Didn't look a certain way. You know, there's a lot of females that was dope that didn't all show skin. Yeah. I don't feel like I have to do that. So, you know, mostly it's all men in my ear that tell me, you got to show more. You know, they say that all the time. But, you know, I don't mind being a little sexy, but I want people to focus on what I'm saying and what I'm doing. That's why I wanted to really make sure that my story was attached to my music so that people look at that. Because, you know, it's like, I don't want to just be like a sex symbol, you know? I want to bring something more. Something
it almost must help you, though, because it makes you different than a lot of the other artists that are out there. Stand out,
and I get the same advice. Another thing, too, is like that I noticed as a female. So, like, let's say a DJ will try to holler at me, and I'm not. I want to keep it professional. Now they're not going to play my record because I done bruised their ego or made them feel some type of way. So that's the difference with a female. It's like, so I try to come through the door like, listen, I'm professional. I'm not into none of that. Let's make some money. Let's make some music. Let's whatever. I try to set that tone off rip, because once they come at you that way and you're like, no, then it's like, oh, she curbed me. So now they're going to curb my record, you know, whether I'm talented or not. And a lot of the females that have that are rapping right now, they screw their way. So they automatically think that's what you want to do. So that's one of the big challenges being a female artist. But, you know, the difference with me and them is I got my bag through being a boss chick. Exactly. I didn't get my bag slurring. So,
which actually leads to more content in your music, more respect.
Absolutely. When absolutely.
People actually looking you up and seeing what you're doing.
Absolutely. But once they hear that, then I definitely get that respect. So I just got to be able to get that out. You know, what I've been through, what I stand for, what I'm about, what I've survived. And then I tend to get, you know, the respect that I'm going for. But if I just come in looking a certain way, I can't even get that far. You know what I'm saying?
In the day and age of stripper rap.
That's it.
The Aisha Hall is far and few between. It's true. And that being said, what is next? What is what do you got coming up in 2020?
Well, I got a lot of good things going on. So I finished the BET special, American Gangster, Trap Queens, which I was very, very excited to do because I got to tell my story from my side.
That is awesome. Now, that's what we have to get into next. Is mm-hmm. So you were recently on the BET.
It hasn't aired yet.
Okay.
It hasn't aired yet. So they did 10 episodes. So they aired the first five. And I'll be in the second five. So it's already shot. It's already done. When the show comes on, I am in the, you know, the show, how it comes on. You can, you know, see me doing my little walk, you know.
Badass.
So I am there. And you get to hear my story from start to finish.
You know when that's airing? Have they said?
I don't know yet. You know, actually, it was originally going to be on BET, but now it's on BET Plus also, which is the streaming network that they did with Tyler Perry. So they switched some things up. So they're just feeding me, you know, information as it comes. But it's definitely going to air. And, you know, once they start giving me the marketing material, I'll send it to you. You know, maybe we can come back and talk about it.
Definitely got to come back for that.
So I'm excited about that. I'm also going to be working on, you know, a three-part series about my life on a bigger network. You know, we've talked about that. Obviously, like I said, new books that still haven't even come out yet. New music. Just new everything, you know, just going
a
further.
A lot of creation. You're taking it to the next level. And that being said, where can they find you if they want to see more?
They can find me on Instagram. You know, that's the most popular. Instagram at The Real Aisha Hall. The Real A-I-S-H-A Hall, H-A-L-L. You can find me on YouTube. You can put in Aisha Hall. Everything that I'm doing comes up there. If you want my books, you can go to Amazon, put in Aisha Hall. See why Aisha Hall so easy?
You see that? It's forever. And I really recommend just YouTubing it because there's so much good stuff out there. Great interviews that other people have done.
Yeah, interviews, prison stories from the county, city.
Crazy stuff out there when you are Googled and when they put your name into YouTube. So it's definitely worth doing. Aisha, it's been awesome having you down here.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I want to shout out my team. You know, my sisters who I did time with, some that are still in, some that are home, my close friends, the Pink Panther Clique, you know, Shawana King, Brandy Davis, Sunny Money Queens. You know, we all doing stuff, you know, together. Jamila T. Davis, she's actually on the BET special as well. We all got good stuff going on. We're working on another reality show. That's another thing on a major network.
All
we're
right,
working on
there
that.
You go.
So we got good stuff going on. Just taking the negative and turning it into a positive.
Listen to everything you're doing.
Seriously, right? And that's what, like you said, taking the negative and turning it into positive. And I got to say, I don't necessarily disagree with the things that you were doing that may be deemed negative by some, but hey, to each his own.
Yes, and check me out on therealcreditpro.com if you need your credit fixed. You know, that's an asset in and of itself. You know, you can DM me or you can go to our website.
It goes down in the DM.
Yeah, it goes down. You know what I'm saying? So if you're ready to get yourself together on that level, hit us up for that too. And we're trustworthy. Our, what do I say? Our insurance is probation. We ain't taking nobody money. We ain't going to jail.
That's it. She's a, yeah, exactly. She's not going to get herself into trouble. So no. Trust her. Hit her up. DM her on the gram. Get that credit fixed. But most importantly, listen to her music.
Come back and promote that when that BET special.
Yes, absolutely. I'll let you know.
Stop by.
Okay.
Go find her everywhere, folks. This is Google the Ryan Show FM, and we will be back. Big Lito and Joe Fiddle are on the way. See you soon, folks. Bada bing.